Welcome to Learn to Live Stress-Free. This is Christine Wright with Dr. Robert Wright Jr., your go-to wellness coaches of www.stressfreenow.info. Today, we will be speaking with world-renowned psychic Carol Ann Lieros on Awakening Your Intuitive Ability. Carol Ann Lieros is a professional psychic who trains others in the field of parapsychology. For 8 of her 40 years in this field, Ms. Lieros was tested by some of the world's leading parapsychologists. Carol Ann's accuracy of predicting the future was tested at a rate of 93 to 97% accurate. Ms. Lieros is a gifted and intuitive inner resource instructor and author. She works with churches, corporations, and groups as a consultant and instructor in the areas of creativity, intuition development, grant funding, personal placement, and trend detection forecasting. Carol Ann has appeared in the movie Inner Spaces, narrated by Edgar Mitchell, the sixth astronaut to walk on the moon. She has been a senior trainer for the ARE, Edgar Cayce Center in Virginia Beach, for almost 30 years. Various aspects of Carol Ann Lieros' work are included in over 20 books, including Superlearning by Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder, plus Fire in the Soul, A New Psychology of Spiritual Optimism by Dr. Joan Borisenko. Ms. Lieros is the author of Intuition Made Easy, and she has recorded an intuition technique series on cassette tapes. She is also co-author of Edgar Cayce on Auras and Colors, written with Kevin Tedeschi, CEO of the ARE, Association of Research and Enlightenment. Carol Ann has designed innovative creative techniques known as the Lieros Method that has successfully helped others to use their own intuition and practical ways. Carol Ann is also a luminary on our site, stressfreenow.info, and she is a very dear friend and mentor to Bob and myself. Carol Ann, welcome to our show. We're so happy to have you here.
Well, again, it's just great to be here. I always love to hear from you and Bob, so it's a treasure.
Yes, Carol Ann, thank you for being our featured guest today, and I want to welcome our audience and thank them for listening. Carol Ann, what led you to the work that you are currently doing?
Now, which work are you talking about? Because I'm involved in many, many different things.
Oh, just tell us everything.
Tell you everything.
Your teaching.
My career as a psychic started out by Hugh Lynn Cayce, who was the son of Edgar Cayce, the most famous psychic our century has produced. And I found myself in a scientific laboratory back in 1966, 67, well, actually for 4 years, being tested by scientists. Not so much to prove that ESP exists or psychic things exist, but how does it work? And so I was involved in answering all kinds of medical questions, psychological questions, all of that. And so what I discovered back then was, you know, we all have psychic ability, some more than others, and there's no question about that. But anyway, so I started out as being tested, and I soon discovered that I could, by analyzing what I did internally, how to see auras, how to do remote viewing, those kinds of things, when I was able to analyze what happened inside of me because of these scientists questioning me what was going on, I found that I could help my friends to be able to do these things too. And it became obvious to me that everyone has this ability, because my friends could do, you know, equally as well as me, maybe some not as well, maybe some better, etc. And so I was fascinated by that, the fact that we all have it. And I was also very interested in the practical application in everyday life. You know, it's one thing to be able to see auras and do remote viewing and do psychometry, which is holding an object that belongs to someone else and gathering psychic information about them. But if it just was that, then it was a fun, interesting parlor game. So I was interested in the practical application. How can we use this in our everyday life? How can seeing auras help a doctor to be able to do a diagnosis and maybe a eliminate having the person have to take all kinds of tests or whatever. And a business person, you know, where to build their new plant, whom to hire, all those questions that, in the business arena at least, and other arenas, cost a lot of money if you make the mistakes. And so I became very interested in that. And so I designed workshops for business people. I designed a parapsychology and medicine class, which I taught at area hospitals in Buffalo, New York, to doctors and nurses. And then, of course, just the average person, an accountant who wanted to be able to use it in their business in the ways that were practical with scanning and so on. So it was fascinating to me that we all have this ability. And the more we use it, it appears the more it stimulates our own abilities. And so we can use it more and more, not in place of data and logic and that type of thing, but in conjunction with, like in a marriage between what we call the left brain processes of logic with the right brain processes we call creativity, intuition, psychic ability, et cetera. So I became very interested in that. So I've designed many, many workshops for specific groups of people. And I found that exciting. And even though I've been doing this for 48 years, I think it's almost 49 now, it never gets stale for me because of the watching people get so excited about the fact that they believed in these things, they accepted the reality of intuition, psychic ability, that type of thing, but felt they couldn't do it. And so to see them awaken like that is very, very exciting.
Yes, Carol Ann, wonderful. Carol Ann, it looks and sounds, based on what you're saying, that almost anyone can learn to use their intuitive faculty. And yet, since there are many skeptics, can you tell our audience what everyday terms or names are used to describe intuition without calling it intuition? For example, a business person might say she uses her gut instinct instead of saying she used her intuition to make a key decision.
Right. Well, terms that seem to be okay. Intuition is getting to be a very acceptable word. Psychic, no. Still not so good. But people talk about having hunches. Oh, I'm not psychic, but I get a lot of hunches. Well, what is a hunch? It's having some kind of information about another person or a situation or the future without data. And I noticed when I worked in corporations with these Fortune 10 corporations I worked with, they use words like foresight. Well, what is foresight? What does that mean? Well, they had the foresight to, you know, buy that piece of land before something happened, et cetera. Well, that's intuition. But hunches, all kinds of words like that are very, very acceptable. When I worked in the corporate arena, I was not introduced to the direct reports of an executive vice president as a psychic. I was a creativity consultant, terms like that, a right-brained processor, all kinds of things like that. And when I was asked to, for example, maybe there were two executive vice presidents who weren't getting along and they were doing sabotage against one another, you know. And so I would analyze the personality of each of them and then say what could be done to get them to work together. And so I would say things like, well, in my analysis, it shows that Mr. X irritates Mr. Y because, you know. But nobody asked me how I gained that analysis. They didn't say, well, what type of analysis did you use? So I was able to use terms like that, and there were very few people who knew I was a psychic hired by this executive vice president because I changed the language. I mean, when I see someone who is very healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, their aura is big and bright and shiny and easy to see and feel. But we don't use that term. We say, oh, he has a lot of charisma. Well, what is charisma? Lay it on the table so I can see it. You can't. But that's that's the type of thing that occurred. My report on the situation is, and I project that this will be occurring here. Well, what does that mean? I'm using precognition. I'm seeing the future for them, but I'm saying my analysis helps me to project this is what's going to happen here. And so I always said, you know, learn the language of the group you want to talk to and then use their language. This woman invited me to come and speak at the American Lutheran Church National Headquarters before the three Lutheran churches merged. And I was speaking in the boardroom to the, I guess, board of directors, they call them. And she said, I want you to talk for 2 hours. I want you to talk about Project Blind Awareness, your work with the blind, the work with the police, predictions you've made, you know, et cetera. But don't use those words like precognition, like psychic, like auras. So 10 minutes before I'm supposed to go on, I said, well, what's the title of my lecture? And she said, The Implications of Consciousness Research for the Ministry. I said, what does that mean? She said, well, just tell them everything that you do, but don't use those words. Well, that was 10 minutes before I went on. So I said, well, what are the buzzwords in the Lutheran Church? And she told me things like, you know, we are all one in the body of Christ and other things. And I, oh, that's easy then. That's very easy. Because when I'm talking to a group of people about, you know, honoring and respecting their own psychic ability, I say we are all connected at some level. So we have access to everybody and everything and every situation. So we're all one in the body of Christ worked. And so I would find out before we went into the corporations, what are the buzzwords in the corporate arena? And so as soon as I learned that, then it was easy.
Wow, Carol Ann, that's pretty amazing. Let me ask you this question. This is something I've been thinking about. In your experience, is there a relationship between our dreams and our intuition? Also, it occurred to me that there's an aspect that applies here when a person would be daydreaming, and then they might get a flash of insight or a hunch or what's called an aha moment. In your opinion, in that case, are they using their intuitive faculty, or is that something else?
Well, for many people, because they're so busy, lead such busy lives. Maybe they have a very demanding job and then they have to go home and take care of family and take care of other responsibilities, that there just isn't time to reflect and let that intuition or psychic ability surface. So when they go to sleep and the conscious mind is, wherever it is, shut off, we'll call it, I don't know, then through their dreams they will get psychic or intuitive impressions and about other people or situations or the future, you know, and so on. And also, years ago, we used to refer to it as women's intuition. And I think the reason we did was because women years ago stayed home and they did such mundane, boring things as scrubbing floors, ironing, you know, and you sort of space out when you're doing something that boring. And so by getting very relaxed and not having to use a lot of data-driven ideas, you're just very relaxed, scrubbing the floor, not paying attention, then their intuition would work. Their psychic ability would work. Maybe they had a feeling that one of their children was going to get sick or would be in an accident or whatever it was. So I think that's how it got the label of women's intuition many, many years ago. But today, and many years ago when I first started at the ARE, back in probably about 1985, whenever that was, et cetera, we would have maybe 150 in a workshop and maybe two men. But today it usually turns out to be anywhere from 20% to a third of the people in the audience being male, which is a real change.
Oh, okay, I see. Wonderful. The next thing that I was thinking about, Carol Ann, is since you have had such a wide and deep range of experience, can you briefly discuss some of the unusual cases you've been able to solve because of your psychic abilities?
Well, one was a when I was working in the corporate arena, and this executive vice president had just gotten into the position, and there apparently was a great deal of problems and had been ongoing before he took over, ongoing for about a year and a half, where the other company, the other corporation, was going to sue this corporation. And no headway had been made. So he asked me, he said, tell me about this man. What is he looking for? What can I do to let him see who I, you know, what's going on here? So I said, so I tuned into him. I took his name and I tuned into him and I said, what you need to do when you go into his office is don't jump in. Don't come loaded down with facts and figures and graphs and diagrams and all that, which one would normally think would be the way to approach this. And they had been doing and wasn't working. I said, sit down and let him know who you are. Where did you go to school? Where were you brought up? Where have you lived? Who are you? And then, you know, he will be more open to listening to you. So he went and he went to this meeting. And I said, this is what this man needs. He needs to know you personally. So he came back and he told me he did exactly that. He said the other man, the other gentleman, had his office desk stacked with, you know, all kinds of graphs and what have you. And he sat down and began talking about where he was raised and where he went to school and, you know, the fact he's a grandfather and all these different kinds of things. And he said he could see the man sit back in his chair, relax, and he started sharing about his life and that he was raised actually not too far from this one and other similarities. And so they talked personal stuff for I don't know how long. And then the one that I had advised said, can we settle this by doing X, which had been brought up many, many times in the past and turned down. And this other gentleman said, yes, that's agreeable. And they shook hands on it. And it solved what could have been a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Now, that's dramatic.
It is, my graciousness. You know, Carol Ann, for the years we've known you, we just marvel. I can't say it enough. We marvel at your experience and your ability in the moment to really tap into both your logic and your intuition. And, you know, you had mentioned in when you were previously in our show about when you worked with young children with your project Blind Awareness,
mm-hmm.
that they're so open and receptive. And even here, as you spoke about, you know, the difference between women's intuition and women, you know, when you do that sort of mindless work, that you're open, and you really seem to innately be able to do it. You know, I remember when you told us the story of Hugh Lynn Casey, when you went into the lecture and you kind of crashed that lecture when you met Hugh Lynn, and he just said right away, and you were a skeptic to this when you first came to this. You were a skeptic.
I believed it was a gift that some people had and the rest of us did not. You know, back in the 60s when I first discovered this, when I was 29, that's what I believed. So the fact that I could do it, it took a lot of convincing and a lot of feedback to convince me something was going on besides logic, or I'm a good observer, or I somehow naturally am able to interpret body language, or any of those things. You know, it took a while because my paradigm was, it's a gift. Some of people have it and the rest of us do not.
Well, you definitely took to it like a fish to water. Now, when you teach, I mean, there are a number of ways that we use our, as you said, you know, psychic is not quite the acceptable word yet, but the ways that we use our intuition and our psychic ability, you know, whether it's remote viewing, whether we ask a question before we go to sleep and, you know, dream some type of resolution, are people more inclined to one aptitude than the other, to, you know, clairvoyance or clairaudience or clairsentience?
Yes, very definitely. Although most people do not have just one. They don't just see or just hear or just feel. Most of the time, one tends to be predominant. For example, I will ask someone, when you go to a lecture, even though you can hear the lecturer very clearly, do you have to move around so you can see them? And if they say yes, I know they're very visual, so probably when they get into this stuff, a lot of things will come to them visually. They'll see it in their mind's eye, so to speak. And so, by just questioning them, also it shows up in the handwriting, whether you're clairvoyant, clairaudient, or clairsentient, whether you see, hear, or feel.
Carol Ann, thank you so much for that. When in your teaching and your lecturing also, what have you found that your audience and your students have said to you that's most surprising when they do this work with you?
What is most surprising to them?
What's most surprising to them? I've sometimes been in your classes and your workshops,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen people, they don't realize that they're doing this.
Through
the years, are people surprised that they have this ability? Yeah, especially, when they're skeptical. I remember you once saying the ones who are most skeptical are the ones who fall the hardest.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
When they learn.
Yeah.
Why is this so foreign to people or so hard to accept?
Well, I think it's many things. Number one, when we get into the educational system with kindergarten or wherever we start, we are encouraged and patted on the head and rewarded for all kinds of left brain kinds of things, like memorizing things and whether it be history or whatever it is. And we're never rewarded, so to speak, when we say, well, I have a feeling that this is going to happen or something like that. In fact, parents usually, or not usually, but quite often in the past used to discourage this kind of thing because it had nothing to do with the real world, if you'll pardon the expression. And then there are some religions that do label these kinds of skills as the work of the devil, et cetera. Why they think it comes from the devil and not God is beyond my comprehension. So they have that early programming in there. Or maybe they had a frightening psychic experience when they were younger. Maybe they woke up in the middle of the night and their grandmother was standing at the end of their bed, and they found out that their grandmother died at that time, et cetera. And being children, sometimes they take on the thing, well, I killed her because, I saw that. And it's frightening to them. So they have to work with that kind of experience. And also, think about how many times your parents, your teachers, whomever, really rewarded you, whether it be with words or whatever, when you did something that was very logical, very deducting, you got a subject, you got an A in it, or whatever they give today. You were rewarded for those kinds of activities.
Thank you, Carol Ann. That's extraordinary because I think in terms of our audience awakening intuitive ability, that word that you use, skill, that it's really, I don't believe it's generally acknowledged as a skill.
It is a skill.
It's a skill that we can bring out in the light of day and
mm-hmm.
that we can cultivate and develop. So, that's extraordinary. I just want to thank you again for being on our show, and you definitely have an open invitation because you just have so much to share. So we want to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And now, Carol Ann, would you share with our audience how they may work with you, see you in person, get some of your training?
Uh-huh. Well, I do give psychic readings, and most of my readings are over the telephone because I travel so much or people are living across country or in another country. So I do psychic readings over the telephone. Also, those who are more local, I started a 6-week lecture series here in Sun City Center, Florida, over at the Cross Creek Golf Club, and each week I cover a different subject. For example, the first week will be safe and dangerous doorways to the unconscious, and each week I cover a different subject. So, and then I'm giving a lecture for the Metaphysical Society of Sun City Center, Florida, January 31st at 1 o'clock, and they can contact my office for information about, where that is, how to get a psychic reading from me, how much I charge, all that information. They can contact my office, and we'd be glad to give it to them.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. So Carol Ann's website is www.carolannlieros.com. That's C-A-R-O-L-A-N-N-L-I-E-R-O-S CarolAnnLiaros, CarolAnnLiaros.com, or you can call her office at 716-876-4414. Again, that's 716-876-4414, or email her at calieros@msn.com. That's her initials, calieros, L-I-A-R-O-S, at msn.com. So if you want to, see Carol Ann in Sun City, which is near Tampa, Sun City Center, which is near Tampa, Florida, you can check her office, and you can also get readings no matter where you are in the country or in the world. So thank you again, Carol Ann, for being on our show.
Thank you.
Carol Ann, since you mentioned the issue of being skeptical, if you recall, and I'm sure you may recall clearly, that I fell into that category initially.
Look at how you fell.
You did fall hard.
Can you say that again?
Look at how you fell.
Yes. So I admit that this issue of that you've brought to the fore of not being rewarded, or there's some aspect of this psychic realm or parapsychological realm that it's a hush, taboo subject, like many things, like whether it's grief or there's just things that are not talked about. Even this thing of talking about our dreams when we wake up in the morning, the standard view is that dreams are just our recalibration of the day's events, whereas the alternate view is that, dreams are much more, just like intuition would be much more. So what I wanted to ask you briefly before we wrap up, when we were fortunate enough to go to your workshop in Phoenix, there was a technique that you did in the workshop, and you do many other times, that fascinated me, and that's the technique of body scanning. That I had heard of it before, but to see it demonstrated like that was pretty remarkable, and actually to feel it. And so that, I think that is what you said about how blind people will say, well, I can't see, but I actually, when I put my hand over this picture, I feel something. So can you just talk very briefly just about what body scanning is and how it works?
Yes. Well, our physical body appears to radiate an energy that in this field is called the aura. It's been renamed by scientists bioplasmic field. And it's a multi-layered, multi-colored field of energy surrounding us. And when there's a change in the physical body, let's say a person has had a heart attack, okay? Any doctor doing the test would say, oh, you've had a heart attack. There's been heart damage there. Well, someone can take their hand and in a very relaxed way, about 3-4 inches away from the body, can scan over the person's body, feeling this energy field. And when they come to the heart area, it will feel different to them. It might feel hotter. It might feel cold. It might feel like it bulges out. It might feel like a lot of fast-moving energy. It might feel like a hole in the aura. There's a change. When there's a change in the physical body, there's a change in the bioplasmic field, or the aura, as it's referred to. And so the blind people, when they do it, they don't have the distraction of looking at the person and saying, in their mind, saying, oh, they look healthy, shiny hair, bright eyes. Blind person can only rely on what they're feeling with their hand. And so that's the one technique that the blind excelled over the sighted, but it's the only one.
Interesting. So what that made me think of is that maybe when we do scanning, we might consider closing our eyes.
Yes, well, I encourage people to do that, yeah.
I never thought of that until now. So, Carol Ann, what final thoughts or key idea would you like our audience to take away from today's broadcast?
Well, I remember when I first got into this, I discovered I could do these things. Some of my relatives and my father felt I was losing touch with reality, that, getting into this stuff was moving away from reality. When in reality, we see more of the world. For example, when you look at a wall, most people see it as solid. Well, we know now from our scientific discoveries, that wall is not solid. It is moving molecules, etc. And so when we get into that state of being able to be aware of what is real, then we can see that wall as moving molecules, etc. So who is more in touch with reality? I think anyone who is integrating their intuition, their psychic ability into with their logical mind sees more and gets more out of life because they do see more and deeper.
Wow, Carol Ann. And I should tell you what the visual for me was when you said that about the wall not being solid from a quantum standpoint. Years ago, for people that are old enough to remember the old Superman TV episodes, there was an episode where Superman needed to go through a wall, and he actually did some technique and where he was able to pass through a solid wall.
Uh-huh.
And it's been many, many years since I've even had that thought, but that's what you made me think of. And then
yeah.
What happened was that one of the bad guys, I think he had kryptonite or something, and then Superman gets stuck in the wall. So in any event, Caroline, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you, our listening audience, for listening. Wherever you are, in whatever time zone you are in right now, we welcome and look forward to receiving your comments about the show. Please let us know if there are guests that you'd like to see us have back on or topics you'd like us to cover again. Please contact us through our website and with your feedback and suggestions. Remember, listeners, if you'd like to experience the same benefits our coaching clients get with us and learn how you can get control of your schedule, including easy ways to dissolve your chronic pain, stress, and anxiety, then give us a call at 954-900-2179. Again, that's 954-900-2179. Mention that you heard our Stress Free Now podcast show, and your first session is free. Call today to schedule your appointment. For Christine Wright, this is Dr. Robert Wright Jr. of www.stressfreenow.info. Until next time, be safe and be well.